Talk AM Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The 321-foot petroleum barge that slammed into a bridge in Galveston, Texas yesterday remains wedged under the destruction as damage assessment and oil cleanup takes place. Reporter Chris Fox with an update.
This would harm our ability to successfully pursue sensitive investigations.
Oh, and we'll get back to Chris in just a moment. The Biden administration is moving toward reclassifying marijuana from a dangerous drug to a lower classification. Commenting on social media, President Joe Biden says this action by his administration is a long time coming.
Today's announcement builds on the work we've already done to pardon a record number of federal offenses for simple possession of marijuana. And it adds to the action we've taken to lift barriers to housing, employment, small business loans, and so much more for tens of thousands of Americans.
And reporter Chris Fox in Austin with an update on that petroleum barge that slammed into a bridge in Galveston yesterday.
Early estimates indicate up to 2,000 gallons of oil may have spilled into the waters after the barge carrying nearly a million gallons of vacuum gas oil broke free from a tugboat Wednesday, slamming into the Pelican Island Bridge. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Keith Donahue.
We have over 200 people actively working on this response right now. We have skimmers in the water. We've recovered over 605 gallons of oily water mixture.
The stability of the bridge remains in question, and the cause of the crash is still under investigation. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Former President Donald Trump's criminal trial will take a three-day weekend, that is, because the former president plans to attend the high school graduation of his son, Barron, tomorrow. CBS's Katrina Kaufman on the possible schedule for next week.
It sounds like they could finish up testimony on Monday, potentially. The defense is still making a decision about whether they're going to present an expert witness, and they're still letting us know if Trump is going to testify. But the judge told everyone to be ready to have their summations, which is closing arguments, for Tuesday, potentially. Not a guarantee, but it is possible that maybe this could all wrap up next week.
The Gaza Pier Project is finished and ready to transport humanitarian aid into Gaza from the Mediterranean Sea. CBS's Imtiaz Taieb in Tel Aviv with the latest.
As that aid will start making its way into Gaza, the violence is also only spreading. Not only has Israel announced that it will be adding more troops into the southern city of Rafah, we've also seen more fighting in the north.
And officials in Houston are warning of potential tornadoes tonight, with potential wind gusts clocking in at 80 miles per hour. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris back in Wisconsin Thursday. She spoke to black voters in Milwaukee about the administration's efforts to create economic opportunity.
You see the signs around Milwaukee and around our country brought to you by the Biden-Harris administration, and you see a crane and you see shovels in the ground.
Harris also talked about forgiving student loan and medical debt and improving access to housing. The Green Bay Packers will play at least five games on national primetime TV this football season. The NFL released its regular season schedule Wednesday night. The Packers will open the season with a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th, and they'll host a game on Thanksgiving night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers bombard the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Pittsburgh jumped out to an early 1-0 lead. Then the Brewers turned it into a home run derby. Milwaukee with five batters with home runs on the way to a 10-2 victory over the Pirates to win the series. It started with William Contreras and his shot to right field in the third. The Brewers' Joey Ortiz.
Yeah, usually William is the one to open the floodgates with anyone. He's hitting extremely well right now, and so when he gets going, it's pretty fun.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I was pleased with today's effort at the plate. You know, Ortiz, sneaky, has been good against righties and lefties. And Churio looks like he's gaining some confidence. Contreras is out of his mind. Like, it's epic what he's doing.
NFL schedules are out, and the Packers will be playing on Thanksgiving, this time in prime time at home against the Dolphins. College basketball, UW Green Bay introducing Doug Gottlieb as their new head basketball coach.
Places like Wisconsin, those are the places that are special, and it really feels like home. Like, Wisconsin's a place where people still wait for you at the airport.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms this evening, mostly cloudy overnight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny by the afternoon, highs upper 60s. Little warmer for the weekend, sunny and low 70s Saturday and Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area in hour number two, Zombie Cicadas, coming to a neighborhood near you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hindi Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Okay, I don't hear Haley. Rachel, can you hear me? All right. Oh no, I'm having problems hearing. Shoot. Let me jump back and come right back, Haley, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm here with Rachel Carr-Shunk, who is the Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts Native Helpline. And we're here today to talk about the helpline and everything kind of going on with MMIR and Awareness Month and all of that, because it is May. So,
absolutely. I'm super excited to be here and share some information about Strong Hearts. And yeah, we can get to it. Hopefully, Robert can hear everyone now.
Yes, I can. I can hear everyone. I can hear everyone. Okay, awesome. Good. Hey, Rachel, thanks for so much for coming on. And it's exciting always to have a great organization like yours on. Let's talk a little bit, you know, for our listeners, just a little quick overview of what Strong Hearts, a Native Helpline, is.
Sure. So Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a culturally appropriate response to intimate partner violence for our relatives across Indian country. We are a 24/7, 365 days. We have advocates on the line that can provide all kinds of assistance and support to our relatives who may be experiencing intimate partner violence. But not just our relatives who are experiencing that. We can also, we also take calls from maybe helpers, right? Maybe family members of people who are experiencing violence, or, just people looking for more information on how to support our relatives that have experienced that. You can contact our advocates 24/7, like I said, at 1-844-7-NATIVE. But we also have text and chat advocacy as well. So they can text that number. It's 1-844-7-NATIVE. Or you can chat on our website at www.strongheartshelpline.org.
Yeah, what a great organization. And and we love joking around. We kind of started around the same time, Native Roots Radio and Strong Hearts. And I've seen you all over. As a matter of fact, in our tribal Ho-Chunk tribal paper, the Ho-Wok, the Ho-Duck, I mean, there's a big ad in there. And so you guys are reaching a lot of our Native people. I think what's really important that that there's a coalition between like MMIR and Strong Hearts Helpline. And let's talk a little bit about that in this little first segment.
Sure. So, you know, when we talk about MMIR, well, first, let's just really define how we define it. It's missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. So we try to be inclusive of all of our relatives who may have experienced intimate partner violence or violence that has resulted in our relatives going missing or, you know, unfortunately being murdered and things like that. So there, you know, there's an intersection between the services that we provide for people that have experienced intimate partner violence and that missing and murdered piece. And there's a lot of intersections and it's a very complicated topic, but, you know, I think across Indian country, in all tribal communities, we know of our relatives who've experienced this type of violence or this crisis, right? And that's the level that it's at. It's at epidemic levels of crisis, because every community that I've been to, you know, you can name multiple families that have experienced this type of violence or this crisis of MMIR. So, you know, our advocates, our response is just to promote, you know, peer support, promote safety, promote access to healing.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that's really our mission here, so to speak, at Native Roots Radio is to educate, you know, educate our allies and educate people that are listening to. There's a lot of things that happen to Native Americans that I believe a lot of people don't know, and mm-hmm. even our allies don't know. And part of that, this has been a story affecting us since colonization and the exploitation of what was originally Native land.
Absolutely. You know, you can't really talk about our experience of violence and oppression and the exploitation of our land without talking about colonization, right? And then you start to think about how colonization has impacted our laws, our policies, our institutions and structures. And they're all really designed to oppress Indigenous people and you know, our BIPOC relatives. So we talk about, you know, removal, right? Mm-hmm. Assimilation policies, forced sterilization, the breaking of treaties, boarding school and adoption era. All of these have really shaped the way that we exist today, and the way that either we try to access safety, try to access justice, try to access healing. So you can't talk about our current experience of intimate partner violence or MMIR without talking about colonization and why we're here at this spot today of having such significant rates of violence in our community, high rates of our relatives going missing and not having, you know, a similar response that other people when they go missing, yeah. that type of either criminal justice response or media response. So, I mean, it's all connected. And like I said earlier, it is a very complicated and complex discussion. I think we could probably talk for hours on end about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we talk a lot about these issues, but it needs to be talked about. And, you know, Native American society did not just start out this way. And this has been a process, like you said, with a lot of the colonization, boarding schools, we could go on and on. And that's a thing that it just didn't happen, Rachel. It's, mm-hmm. And I hate to play the victim role, but it happened to us. And we're the byproduct of a lot of trauma that our relatives in the past have gone through.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when we talk about the experience of trauma, you know, people think of acute trauma or some recent trauma, right? When you're talking about Indigenous people, you have to remember that historical trauma and the impacts of that, right? I mean, there's the science behind the epigenetics of trauma and how that is passed down generation to generation. And like I said, the cycles of trauma that exist within our communities results in this experience of a different experience of violence, a different experience of access to systems, a different experience of access to justice, that is unique to our communities and our relatives.
Absolutely. Hey, Rachel, hold on. Hang on for another segment. We're talking about Strong Hearts Native Helpline and also just a little history for our listeners about where we are, where we've come from, and where we'd like to go. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, it is. And we really appreciate partnering with Strong Hearts Helpline. Hey, Rachel, we're really having a great conversation here. And I just like the process of calling in. I just want to throw this out here because I know last time we talked about this, and it's really important for our listeners that are going to use the service or think about using the service about the anonymity. And, you know, we joke around here as Ho-Chunks that we're all related. And mm-hmm. So that's good in a good way. But sometimes when it comes to secrets in the family, things like that and abuse, you need an outside person to talk to.
Sure. And I think that's something that is what really excites me about Strong Hearts, because I think I talked about it last time, as I am relatively new to Strong Hearts as an organization. But I come from working in my tribal community, right? So I'm well aware. A lot of the times we are actually truly related, right? And, yeah. You know, people don't want to come to get services from their sister, right? For a number of reasons, and that's okay. And so we exist as, you know, we provide that culturally honoring and culturally appropriate care to our relatives, but in a way that, you know, is anonymous and safe for someone to come forward and say, you know what, I am experiencing this. Unfortunately, there is still so much stigma around the experience of violence in our communities. So the fact that we're anonymous and confidential is, I think, really paramount to promoting a safe response to a lot of our relatives who aren't comfortable with going inside their community to get support.
Right. And that is so, so important. And one of the things too, that I really, as being a, you know, we talk about our sacred animals, and our pets are our family here. And I know, to help, there's, Strong Hearts will help connect you to people that, because that's a big thing with the pets. It's not just having your kids and bringing your kids if you have to go to a shelter or whatnot.
Sure. Yeah. So, and you know, I think one of our best response or our best level of advocacy is peer support. But another thing that we have at Strong Hearts is our directory. We have a directory of all Native service providers and also non-Native providers, because unfortunately there are communities that don't have Native resources. But we have a directory that is, you know, we can do warm handoffs or warm pass-offs to these other service providers that may be able to provide more direct services, whether that's emergency housing, transitional housing, support with pets and things like that. So we have a phenomenal directory that we can lean on for when our relatives are ready to move towards getting some of that direct service that we can't provide on our end, but you know, we do have that handoff ability.
Do you ever feel that some people call and they just need to talk it through? Because when you're in a fire, so to speak, you don't know how hot it is until you hear it from your own mouth, go to your own two ears, and bounce it off somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, our advocates are trained in talking about relationships, healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, and abusive relationships. So a lot of the times people, you know, they feel a certain way about something, but maybe they're just not sure, right? And so they can give our advocates a call and talk through some of the things that they might find concerning, that they need a little bit of support from our advocates to say, yeah, that's falling on the spectrum of an abusive relationship, or it's unhealthy at this point, or, you know, this is a healthy relationship. So there is that opportunity to kind of talk through some of the things that our relatives are experiencing, and you know, our advocates are trained to help them go through that relationship spectrum and talk through it.
And that's great for all ages, because as you were talking about that, well, that's really good for young people, but I think all ages, it's really helpful to bounce that off and what's going on in my life here. This doesn't feel right, and I'm not used to trusting my gut.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, the reality of the experience of violence is a lot of the times, you know, communities, individuals can think that maybe something, you know, they have some kind of feeling in their gut that it's not normal, but maybe they've witnessed it, right? And maybe that is their normal. And so to have the opportunity to talk in an anonymous way, in a confidential way, to advocates who, one, are trained in understanding the dynamics of power and control, but also the dynamics of Indian country or Indigenous experiences, right? So it's really important that we have that response of, one, knowing intimate partner violence and all the dynamics that exist there, but also the other considerations that we have as Indigenous people.
Right. And where does somebody, and I was thinking when you were saying this too, that you have a possible abuser or controller in somebody's life. What happens with them? Are they able to call in and check in? I mean, I don't think I've ever really asked that question.
That's a really great question. And absolutely, our advocates are trained to respond to some of our relatives who use violence, right? Mm-hmm. And this is if they're reaching out and they're seeking, am I using abusive behaviors? Am I using controlling behaviors? They're going to get a respectful advocate on the line who wants to support them. And that's our reality, is we know that, you know, we care for all of our relatives and we want safe and healthy communities. And that means, providing support to our relatives who do use violence.
Wow, that's really awesome, because I can kind of picture maybe some people having some sort of low end confronting each other, mm-hmm. and then say, well, why don't you call Stronghearts and see if this really is what I'm saying it is, if it's confirming that this is controlling, if you have my keys or want to know where I am 24/7, or have me on your cell phone so I can track you, and it's only a one-way street. They can maybe tell their boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other, hey, call this hotline, and they'll let you know.
Sure, yeah. And that's, we want to be able to use our advocates in a way to help educate our relatives, mm-hmm. whether like I said earlier, if it's the survivor, a family member or friend of a survivor, a caretaker, or someone who uses violence, right? So we do have advocates trained in responding in all of those ways.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool that we have this opportunity and that we're amplifying it and you're amplifying this help. What were we doing before this? It's crazy,
yeah, that's,
to think about it.
Yeah, that's a good question. And thankfully, this conversation, the creation of Stronghearts really came from a working group of the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center and the mm-hmm. National Domestic Violence Hotline, determining that we know we have the statistics about the disproportionate rates of violence happening. But they didn't have the data, or they didn't have Indigenous people calling the helpline. So they knew that there was a disconnect. So thankfully, what came from those conversations is Stronghearts Native Helpline, knowing that our relatives are much more comfortable reaching out to Indigenous advocates who are trained in intimate partner violence and historical trauma and cultural considerations. And they're more comfortable reaching out. I think I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but before we were 24/7, our helpline was actually Monday through Friday when it was very young, right? Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, very limited hours. And we know that violence and victimization happens at all times and every day. And so prior to rolling out our 24/7 option, relatives could call in. And if it was, outside of those 9 to 5 hours, they would get an option to transfer over to the national helpline or national hotline, excuse me. Mm. We found our data supports that wasn't happening. Mm. Even though that was an option, that wasn't happening. They were either calling back or not calling, not connecting to the hotline, the national hotline. So that even further told us we need to exist in a 24/7 manner so that our relatives can reach out at any time and connect with an advocate who understands them.
Wow, really exciting. We're about to end this segment. And Haley or Rachel, I'd love to hear how we can connect, because again, we have so many people listening to us over the nation here on radio.
Sure. You can reach Stronghearts at, you can call us at 1-844-7-NATIVE, or you can also text that number, and you can chat at www.strongheartshelpline.org, and also give our website a visit. Even if you don't want to chat, you can check out some of the resources we have, our blogs, and we actually have printed materials that you can request on our website, and we will mail.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
CBS News Brief. Rick Fried from barge operator Martin Marine says the oil spill from a barge that collided into a Galveston bridge has been contained.
Coast Guard Air Station Houston overflight, as well as and drones, have been deployed to evaluate the extent of the oil spill.
It's estimated up to 2,000 gallons of oil may have spilled. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports on a move by the Biden administration to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug.
Posting on social media, Biden said this reclassification acknowledges that marijuana should not be in the same category as drugs like heroin or LSD.
Jurors in former President Donald Trump's so-called hush money and election interference trial will have the weekend to digest the 3 days of testimony from former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Trump's attorneys told the judge that they don't expect to call many witnesses so that closing arguments could begin on Tuesday.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Guaranteed income programs are controversial in some circles, but research shows they're working. They give cash to low-income households with no strings attached. Rachel Barnart is with a nonprofit that facilitates these programs around the country. A study by the Urban Institute looked at how that money is spent in Austin, Texas.
A majority of the cash payments was spent on housing, and we saw an increase in housing stability.
Madison had a privately funded guaranteed income program in 2022 and 23. A Wisconsin emergency room doctor is a recent four-time winner on Jeopardy and headed to the game show's Tournament of Champions. Dr. Amy Hummel's episodes aired in late April and early May. She won $101,000. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're thinking about hitting the theaters this weekend for some summer movie magic, there is a lot to choose from. But this weekend, a couple of horror films are front and center. If you're looking for old-fashioned jump scares, check out The Strangers Chapter 1. But be warned, it is not reviewing all that well, which means Chapter 1 could be the final chapter. I Saw the Glow is another horror film opening, which is reviewing well with critics, but only drawing 50% from audiences. If you're looking for laughs, check out the family film If, starring Ryan Reynolds. Or check out the more adult comedy Babes, about two friends whose relationship changes when one decides to have a baby after a one-night stand. Babes is pulling excellent reviews to the tune of 97% on RT. And if you feel like sitting in this weekend, there is nothing wrong with that. There's a good historical fiction series called Manhunt about the Lincoln assassination. All 7 episodes are available on Apple TV. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms this evening, mostly cloudy overnight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny by the afternoon, highs upper 60s. A little warmer for the weekend, sunny and low 70s Saturday and Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Hi, I'm Jenny, manager of a brand new store in town called Big Deals. It's not a brick and mortar store, but rather an online marketplace. What makes this place so great is it's filled with gift certificates to local businesses in town. Shop local, buy local, and save money. That's our motto, Big Deals. It's kind of a big deal.
The WAUK Big Deals store is now open. Click the Big Deals tab at WAUKradio.com.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by writer, director, actor Bruce Jarko, and Terry Barr from Max Inc. joins the show live from the Willie Nelson concert to give us a preview of what's live in the lair on Saturday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
What a great organization. Hey, you know, we, Haley, are in drive time, you know, and we're really excited to be in drive time. People in their cars driving, and it just so happens I'm in my car driving, too. So before I get in an accident, why don't we check in with the great governor of Wisconsin and what he's has been doing this past week?
Absolutely. Here is Governor Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. May is Mental Health Awareness Month here in Wisconsin and across the nation to reduce the stigma and encourage folks and families to have open and honest conversations around mental health. In 2023, I declared it the year of mental health because I was worried the state of mental health in Wisconsin was a quiet, burgeoning crisis, one I still believe will have cascading effects for generations if it goes unaddressed. That's why I was proud to sign a budget that made key investments in addressing our state's mental health crisis, including $30 million in school-based mental health services to support our kids, $10 million to establish two crisis urgent care and observation centers for folks in crisis, and $200,000 for DATCAP's Farmer Mental Health Assistance Program. And thanks in large part to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, we were also proud to announce nearly $17 million in federal funding to support operations of the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. This is all great news, but we know there is much more work to do. And I won't stop fighting to make sure every Wisconsinite has access to quality, affordable mental health care. Remember, folks, you are not alone, and help and hope are always available. Just call or text 988 and get connected to a trained crisis counselor. May it's a great reminder to take good care of ourselves and each other, and let's work together to reduce the stigma and build a healthier state for everyone. Happy Mental Health Awareness Month, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow.
Wow, Haley, this seems to be a theme here, huh?
I know. I was just going to say that. Yeah, no, it's May is a very big month for awareness for a lot of things.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you know, one of the things that I was wondering if you could speak on, and I know we didn't talk about this at our, you know, 2-hour meeting before the show that we do prepping this great show.
Sure.
Haley laughed. What's going on with the cap and gowns? It's insane. And I know we kind of text back and forth, and my Facebook feed is blowing up about this. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about this and get our listening audience clued in on what the heck's going on here, because it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. This was everywhere on my social media today and yesterday as well. So we have some unfortunate news that came out of the Hinckley and Finlayson School District in northern Minnesota yesterday. The school district and the board voted to forbid tribal drumming and singing at high school graduation next week. The superintendent stated the performance would create a legal risk if community members feel it is endorsing a religious group. This is coming from NPR News as of yesterday. So, very interesting.
Yeah, very upsetting in a religious group. It's really disheartening to hear a superintendent of any size school district talk about Native Americans as a religious group. It's disheartening.
And uneducated, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And so I think floating around on Facebook, too, that there's lines to call up and phone lines to call in, and but they're not answering on behalf. From people all over Turtle Island, and so just share it out, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy too, because people think of like Indian country as so small and we're so diverse and spread out and far away from each other. But trust me when I say news like this spreads like wildfire through Indian country. I mean, this is, you know, Hinckley's school district, and they're, you know, I can read this post here. This is another post from Facebook. This is a comment here. Everybody from May 14th, so as of a few days ago, up until May 24th at Hinckley Finlayson School or High School, sorry, they will be protesting starting at 3:10 every day. They will be marching and showing, it's very, I think people get very confused when they hear about Native Americans not being a religious group. I think, you know, it's our culture that gets mistaken as a religion and our spirituality. I mean, if we're going to talk about creating a legality of religion, then how are we not banning all things Christianity in the school then? I don't understand how people are still forced as students to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school, which quotes One Nation Under God. That sounds pretty religious to me.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I'd really love to find out what the backstory is, because this is like coming out of nowhere. And Hinckley is not that far from the Twin Cities. And also, you know, we've had some big positive things when it comes to smudging in classrooms. And this seems like just a big pushback of what us natives in Minnesota at least have really fought for and got.
Exactly, too. It just like really is dividing the community. It feels like, you know, as a society, especially in this district of Hinckley, is, you know, we're going backwards in history, which is not at all something we want to do. I want to mention this too. This is another comment. It's been said, we're trying to heal and trying to change the narrative by turning school and education into a positive part of our lives. And because it's been so triggering and traumatizing from when our great grandparents and grandparents, were forced into boarding schools and assimilated and were abused in every way possible, you know, I think, you know, we got to be pushing on this more and more, because our graduation rates of our kids just keep climbing. So I say, let them sing and let them drum. And if not, they're going to do it anyways.
Yeah, really, really good perspective, Haley. Really appreciate that. Wow. You know, and I think that, you know, in my teaching career, I've been lucky to be teaching where the principals and administration are really open to it. As a matter of fact, we were in the Native American Magnet School in St. Paul. So we were lucky, but we still had some problems too, you know, in the beginning in the 90s with people, the old guard not wanting people to wear feathers and especially not beaded caps. They wanted it all the same. And there were some pictures too. Did you see there was somebody that was trying to go to graduation this past day too, or yesterday too, that they didn't let her walk because of her she had beading, and then they showed some other people who had stuff on and they let them go.
Right. Yeah, it's very, very confusing. And too, like when you talk about, I know you started the first Native homeroom in, you know, St. Paul, in one of our very populated schools. And, you know, I think they did have, you know, a high percentage of Native students. But then, like, going back to this Hinckley Finlayson School District, according to the most recent state data, Native American students make up about 1/4 of their school population, which is quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because we're used to, 1-2% maximum, but different pockets. And I know, like, in Black River Falls, for instance, that school district's very large in Ho-Chunks and Natives, and but they still get a lot of backlash out there. And, you know, part of me growing my hair back in the day, and I know I've cut it not really short, but it's been cut, that I wanted to really, you know, support our young ones that do grow their hair and do get bullied. And this is a thing that's totally bizarre. It's coming up at the end of school, and all this stuff is happening in not a good way. So it's really good that we talk about this, Haley, and it's really good that we have Native Roots Radio to talk about it. I've talked to some people recently that just, you know, just give us a lot of credit for getting stuff out like this that no one hears on the air.
Right, right. Yeah, and I guess, you know, this decision of the Hinckley-Finlayson school board to not let students drum and sing at graduation, I guess this decision was made, obviously, unanimously, surprise, surprise, but also after a meeting with the community or with the board. So not only did they hear and listen to our side of the story and how we're not a religion, but they still decided against us.
Well, that goes back to what we say at the very end of the show most of the time, and that's, you know, vote, you know, run for office, those things. And so we have representation, and that we have a chair at the table, and, you know, we're not being fed at the table, but we and if there is not a chair for us at the table, get a folding chair and pull yourself up, because we deserve to be there. And amplifying this is just, you know, you reached out to me with this information earlier today, and this is exactly what we have to talk about. I'm kind of glad that we had a little problem with segment three. because we can talk about this, and hopefully I'm sounding okay because I'm in my car and pulled over. But Haley, I appreciate all you do, and you know, getting the young perspective and the Native perspective is so important for our work here at Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to, you know, let everyone know I'm doing this for our future generations, and congrats to all the graduates, Native graduates, specifically graduating this year. It's not easy for us as a Native population with our statistics. So really, really good job. I know we have about probably 30 seconds left here, but, you know, let them sing, let them drum. And, you know, Hinckley-Finlayson School District, you guys really put out the smoke signals here, and we will be showing up.
Wow, really great way to end it. That's hopefully the mother station can pop some bumper music and get us out on that, because that was a good mic drop, Haley.
Thank you. Yeah, everyone, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back with Wendy Pilot in a new Sacred Animal segment. Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Why must the world be so cold? They've gone against what was told. Thinking rape is cool? Think about it. They think it's not wrong? Violence against women? The rape, the abuse, the emotional, physical? They all hold the hate. Think about it. Is it right or wrong? What attracts you? I'm not saying no names, but you laugh. Talk about it like nothing is wrong? Think about it. They all hold the hate? Gotta stop the violence. Stop the hate? Think about it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Tiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, this portion of the show is sponsored by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wow. Yes. Great little bumper there, Wendy.
That's right. Tiergan and Hadley.
We love those. Awesome. Guys. It's always great to see them. They're at a lot of events in the cities, a lot of Native events, a lot of energy events, a lot of really cool stuff.
And, yes.
You know, it's funny. We have Haley, or we have her shirts.
Yeah, the George Floyd shirts. Love them. It's one of my favorites. I wear it all the time. I don't have it on now, but yes.
I wear it in the plane a lot of times when we fly to New York.
Yeah, definitely.
We love that. Hey, Wendy, you don't have to reintroduce yourself, but it's great to have you on again for another segment. It's like old times.
I know.
You and Dr. Stately have to renegotiate your contract, it sounds like, because you've been on a lot lately, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's no problem. I love to be on and talk about the animals, but I just lost what I was looking at here. So earlier I was talking about like all the bugs that are being killed by all these chemicals and that the birds are starving because they don't have a lot of
bugs
to eat. And not all birds eat bugs, but a lot of them do. But so some of the birds that eat bugs, I'm really surprised to hear this. And I'm a little upset about some of the bugs that they do eat because some of them eat like butterflies and stuff. So like bluebirds, cardinals, chickadees, European starlings, you know all these birds, right? Yeah. So like cardinals, for instance, they eat beetles, grasshoppers, snails, crickets, leaf hoppers, cicadas, flies, centipedes, spiders, and butterflies. So a cardinal will eat a butterfly. I'm not so happy about
That's why we feed them all those peanuts and things in our backyard so they won't eat the butterflies.
Yeah, so fly catchers, orioles, they eat a bunch of sparrows, swallows. Some of these I can't pronounce, so I'm not mentioning them. Warbles, woodpeckers, and wrens. So what you want to do is you want to attract these type of birds, right, to your yard so they eat all the bugs. So you want to have shelter for them. You want to have water for them. You want to have shade for them. You want to have some seeds for them. You want to have all these things. So we have tons of birds in our backyard just because I even just put the seeds out for them.
Yeah.
And
blue jays, cardinals, which for me as a little kid, I've seen them, but rarely see them. We see them 3 or 4 times a day now.
I know. And we also saw, so by accident, I bought 2 bags of peanuts. So I buy peanuts in the shell and I throw them out and the squirrels, you know, open them up and eat them. And even the crows come and get the peanuts in the shell and like put them in the bird bath and like soften them up and crack them open and eat them. But by accident, I bought peanuts for wildlife without the shell. So they're just free.
So any wildlife.
So I threw a bunch out and Robert then sends me these pictures of these huge raccoons.
Never seen them this big.
In our yard. Oh my God. They were so big. Even our next door neighbor, when she saw me, she was like, oh my God, Wendy, we saw 2 big giant raccoons in your backyard. I guess that
we have those true trees outside and they're kind of close to our four season porch and also your studio. And I was looking out the window at your studio and they were climbing up the trees and I went, holy mackerel, they got thumbs. They could open up this window here and come in and join me. I got a little frightened.
They were gigantic. Yeah. I'm excited. You know, we saw Jane Goodall.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
That was awesome.
So Jane Goodall, I love her. And Leonardo DiCaprio are going to produce a live action film told from a dog and a wolf's perspective, and it's called Howl. So I'm really excited to find out. I want to find out when that's coming out and where it will be playing.
And maybe we can get Leonardo on.
The whole, yeah, I'd like to get Jane. Never mind Leonardo. Yeah. I'd rather have Jane Goodall on. But they hope that this film will help change perceptions of the big bad wolf. So I'm looking for that. Looking forward to that. I have that kind of bookmarked in my my stuff here. So here's another good point. You know, I find all these little tidbits on social media. Mm-hmm. But if you lose your dog, they say make sure to alert your local postal workers and delivery drivers and garbage collectors, because they're in the neighborhood all the time.
Yeah.
And they could help spot and help you get your dog back and spot your dog.
Remember when we lost Mickey?
I do. I'll never forget
that.
The
little girl
that.
Called you, or a little boy
little
called
little
you?
Boy, yeah. Oh, my God. That was like one of the worst days of, literally one of the worst days of my life. I think I cried for 15 hours straight. We were away, and we had somebody house sitting, and there was a storm, a thunder and lightning storm. And we don't know what happened, but Mickey, our chihuahua, got out. He was probably trying to find us.
One job.
Yeah, one job. Like
watch the dog.
Watch the dog and make sure the gate is kept closed. That's all you have to do. Like keep the dog alive and keep the gate closed.
Yeah, keep the dog alive.
So we drove home from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that night.
To a lost dog.
We didn't know what to do.
How long ago was that? That was a long time ago before like social media.
I want to say 2006.
2006. Yeah. So that was a long time ago. But you got on your computer and made posters with pictures of Mickey and our phone number and our information. And I'm telling you, put it in everybody's mailbox within a eight block radius around our house.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that I don't think we wanted to go down the street because we were just trying to do a couple blocks each side of our house. And I think we went on the other side of Creighton.
Yeah.
And we didn't think that was going to be. And we put it on a big telephone pole. I don't even think we put it in their house.
That's right. That's right, Robert. You put it on a telephone pole across a pretty busy street.
Yeah, we never thought he would have gone across that street.
Yeah, and we were just out all night long just trying to calling him, driving around, looking around. I mean, he's a little chihuahua. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. He could be anywhere behind a little bush. You're never going to find him. He's not like a big, great Pyrenees dog that's going to be out in the open. But yeah, the next day, I don't think I slept all night and got a the phone rang. We had a landline back then, and the phone rang. And...
But it was a wireless landline.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, it was a wireless landline. I picked up the phone, and it was a little boy, and he was like, "Hi, I think I have your dog." And I was like, "What? Oh my gosh!" And you had just left because you had to get
back to Madison.
And then I called you, and you turned around and came back, and I gave you the address, and you went to pick up Mickey, and then you came home. Oh my God.
He was so worn
when
out.
When I saw
dirty.
His face, he was so happy to see me. He was crying. And then when we got him in the house, he drank a lot of water. He was all dirty. And I was just like, all right, just leave him alone. I'm not going to, you know.
And then you got him chipped immediately.
Yeah, I got him microchipped. And oh, my gosh. But I remember him. He was like so happy to be home. Like you could tell he was just laying there. And every now and then he'd just take a big sigh and a deep breath like, you know, and I was just like, oh, Mickey, you're home. And he would wag his tail. I was so upset. So like Wanda, literally, she's microchipped.
Yeah.
She has a collar on that I bought that has, what is it? It's like a Bluetooth GPS.
Yes.
So I could find, no matter where she is, I could find her on the map.
You like looking at it, too.
And I do. Every now and then I say, make sure this thing's working. And I also have a little collar with her name and our information on it. So she's like, she has every bit of information on her she goes missing.
Whenever I see anybody's animal pass away, I always put in.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll preview Sitten de Mai in Stoughton, a Norwegian fest. Also Willie Nelson's in Madison, all that and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2
Flood risk can change over time, and a community's flood insurance rate map shows how those risks could affect you. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has developed preliminary flood insurance rate maps for Washington County. FEMA also provides an appeals process for anyone with information that may change their flood hazard determination. To view maps, find your property's risk level, and details on the appeals process, please visit dnrwi.gov and search Washington County Flood Maps. This message is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and FEMA.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.